Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord and my God. Please be seated. Most of you know that I love meditation, so I'd like to start by getting ourselves a little rooted in fertile ground. So I ask you to close your eyes and think of your feet being on solid earth. And then roots start to go into this fertile earth under your feet to gain this wonderful rootedness in God. At the same time, we open our hearts and minds and we move up to the heavens and ask God to come down and enlighten our spirits and to be with us as we hear his word. When I was a little girl, my sister and I each received a gift from my father. It was a pendant with a tiny solid glass globe about 1/2 inch in diameter. And inside of it was a mustard seed. It was a special gift from my dad, especially a pendant. It was a gift of wonder as I wore it. And as a young child with at one point three older siblings and then four, and soon to be five younger siblings, I was really in a hurry to grow up because I wanted to be, you know, at the top of the heap to catch up to everybody. But my father observed this in me and he would say, "Betsy, don't be in such a hurry. Slow down. This is time for you to be carefree, to be young." I could not absorb his message. I just wasn't able to hear it. I didn't understand the symbolism of the mustard seed. But yet now, as a grown woman, this parable brings back to me a lovely offering as a reflection of an unspoken prayer between a father and a daughter, a parent and a child. And this is a gift of everlasting love and desire for us to live into the fullness of life, and especially to live into Christian life. And isn't this Jesus' desire for all of us? I don't know whether or not the seed from the scriptures this morning, from the psalm, are in fact a mustard seed, but no matter, it was a seed. And I was quietly contemplative with the readings this morning. I became captivated. And when I came in this morning, I look up and there's the front window, which I believe is the parable of the sower. Well, a commentary friend that I check in with each week, her name is Joy J. Moore. She's a pastor in the Lutheran Church. She laughs about the disciples being very confused hearing this story about fishermen. Well, but they were fishermen. They weren't farmers. So they must have taken some time to wrap their head around this lesson, around this parable. Now, unlike other parables that we'll be launching to in the weeks coming up, this is the only time that Jesus will unpack it for them and explain to them what this means. The disciples come up to Jesus and they ask, "Why are you telling us these stories?" And he replied in a fashion response, "You've been given the insight into God's kingdom. You know how it works. Not everyone has this gift, this insight. It hasn't been given to them. Whenever someone has a ready heart for this, any trace of receptivity can soon disappear. And that's why I tell these stories, to create a readiness in you, to nudge people towards a receptive insight. In their present state, they can stare until doomsday and not see it. They can listen till they're blue in the face and not get it. I don't want Isaiah's forecast repeated all over again. Your ears are open, but you don't hear a thing. Your eyes are awake, but you don't see a thing. People are blockheads, and they stick their fingers in their ears so they don't have to listen. And they squint their eyes shut so that they don't have to look, so they don't have to deal with me face to face and let me heal them. But what you have are God-blessed eyes, eyes that do see, and God-blessed ears, ears that do hear. A lot of people, the prophets and humble believers among them, would have given anything are seeing, to hear what you are hearing, but they never had the chance. The seeds are thrown all around on rocky soil, on thorny soil, and on good earth. And most of these seeds are not going to germinate. Jesus knows this. God also knows this. We can think of these seeds as God's message, the message of the kingdom of God. It will fall upon rocky land and it will be taken up. There's receptivity and joy in the fact of them being taken up, but no roots are in place so that they can develop. What is sown among the thorns is choked out by the lures of worldly things, of power, control, money, and influence. What occurs on the good soil gains solid footing, these roots that spread toward the good. God has indeed cast a good measure, but yet in differing degrees. And God is aware of this pattern, the falling away of some. But yet persistence, care, and focus do yield to bounty. With God as origin, cycling through his creation, we are included. We are as sowers of the seed. The gift comes from us, originating from him, and returns to him. You hear me speak often of the triune God, our faith in the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it is the Spirit that intercedes for us and on our behalf, and which incorporates us into the sowing and the reaping of God in our midst. Pentecost is a season of hope. The sower cannot sow until the seeds are planted. If we understand God to have planted seeds, he plants them on all types of soil that we talked of, having different levels of ability to be cultivated in our estimation. However, in God's creation, all seeds have inherent potentiality. God can also be seen as the sower. We see this in Jesus, worker of miracles with people and often hopeless situations. He also lived himself inside of this parable as a metaphor, recognizing the hopelessness of many situations. But he trusted in God's providence as his son, and he received grace to transform impossible situations for the good. He had endless and abundant faith to accomplish God's mission in the world. And as his work was unfinished on earth, it continued after his death and also continues today. We, in our imperfect but yet hopeful selves, continue as those seeds of God's love, as sowers of his teaching by words, deeds, action, and prayer. We become the good soil by his nurture of this community of love and compassion, tilling the ground both fertile and challenging, never giving up on the possibilities of an abundant harvest. And we know that we are not alone in this. We have each other. We trust in God the Father, Jesus, his Son, the Advocate and Paraclete, to assist us with that grace. And we rely on the Holy Spirit, often unseeable, often fully unknowable, and the compassionate, loving force assisting us continually in that love. So let us think, my friends, of ourselves as seeds, the miracles of creation contained within potential for non-judgment, for non-violence, for forgiveness, and for mindfulness. May we pray to God and Jesus to sow within our hearts a fertile ground that is propagated, watered, and ready for germination and growth. All of us contain this ability as we become open to possibilities that perhaps we cannot even imagine in an unknowable future. So drawing all of this meaning together, let us reflect in gratefulness the treasure of this word, the treasure of God's holy yield in the words of a Eucharistic hymn. Father, we thank thee who has planted thy holy name within our hearts, knowledge and faith and life immortal, Jesus, thy Son to us in hearts. Thou, Lord, didst make us for all thy pleasure, didst give us food for all of our days, giving in Christ the bread immortal, thine is the power, thine the praise. Watch over thy church, O Lord, in mercy. Save it from evil and guard it still. Perfect it in thy love. Unite it, cleansed and comforted unto thy will. As grain once scattered on the hillsides was in the broken bread made one, so from all lands the church be gathered into thy kingdom by thy Son. Finally, as St. Paul wrote to the Ephesians, I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God's love. Amen.